Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this episode of the Normae podcast. I think we're now on our fifth episode, which is kind of great. I know I've been slacking for a little while now, just daily commitments, but I am going to do better and we'll try to do episodes every Sunday or every other Sunday, and we'll see how it goes. So for today, it's just myself here. And we are just going to go through my journey in books and how this love for books actually started for me and when it started. So who introduced books to me? I have to say it's my mother. My mother had me reading and writing by the age of 4 because she wanted me to go to school prepared. In Zimbabwe, you went to school at the age of 5, and there were preschools and everything. And I remember going to preschool, but not necessarily learning how to read and write. We just would do games and stuff. But whenever it was home and my mom was home for the weekends, or she used to have like half days on Wednesdays, it was basically her and me sitting there and teaching me how to write. So by the time I got to school, I could actually write my name. I could do all these things. And so my mom actually introduced me to books. She had me reading. And so when I was in the first grade, all I remember was preparing ourselves, like getting ready for school. And my mom is right there behind me, kind of like going, you have to read that book. You have to be able to finish reading that book. So I was that kid who was way ahead everyone else in class. By the time we got to like page 8 of reading, I could just easily breeze through it. And then I remember in grade 2, that's when the love of hearing the sound of my own voice when I used to be reading started, because we had this teacher, Miss Chiesa, and she was great. She was fantastic. And she would always like have me read. And that was the perfect thing. Like, what? In grade 2? And my little 6-year-old self is out there being the best class reader. And so from then onwards, it started off being me loving the sound of my own voice, because I was like, well, if people love to listen to me reading and teachers always putting me there, then. But then I discovered books, and there were the Lady Bird books during that time, and read them, enjoyed them, would go to the library, was always excited because Fridays was like library day at my school. Then you'd get yourself a book for the weekend. And usually it was supposed to be the book for the week. And by the time the weekend was over, I was done with that book. So I remember like in fourth grade or something, going to my mom's surgery, and in the waiting room, they had these little magazines called Reader's Digest. And I would read those books, and they had the best jokes. Like, they had the best dad jokes in the Reader's Digest. And I would just sit there and I would read, or I would even read like medical magazines that were in there. And I remember the doctor at the surgery, he ended up actually putting like a little mini kiddies library in the reception. And basically it was for me, because he could just see this child loved to have her nose in the books, like literally just there reading. And so that was my life. It just formulated me reading all the time, any spare time I had. And you know, like in primary school, you're either doing English or math. And so math, I wasn't so good. Reading English, that was mine. You couldn't tell me nothing when it came to that. And so by the time I was 11, and then my aunt, she used to go to the library. And she was living with us at the moment. And she had this one book. She had this, like, it was a pace setter, and it was the first time I'd seen this book, and I was like, what is this? And I read it, and for me, pace setters, I think they're kind of like young adults. I think they're YA. I would consider them African YA books. And I read my first one, and I was hooked. So from then onwards, any one of my siblings was going to the library, because here's the thing, you had, like, there was a junior library card that you could have in the library, but it was all books I'd already finished reading, and they were now too, in quotes, young for me. I was grown. So I had to bribe my brothers, my siblings, my aunt to say, please, whoever's going to the library, can you just take out pace setters for me? And that was my first love for African literature, because all those books were based in Africa. They were either in Nigeria, they were either in Ghana, or they were either in Kenya. And they were such great, quick reads, but fascinating, you know, like young adult romance and all this stuff. And I enjoyed those books. And that was my first love for African literature. And I remember just milking and reading all the books to the point that by the end of the August holidays, when I discovered this book, I'd read all the books that were available in our library, like the library that was nearest to us. I'd read all of them. So then it was a matter of just trying to scrounge around and find books, but I'd read all these books. And so, because I was literally going through like a book a day. That's how obsessed I was with these books. So every other day I would be asking either my mom, my aunt, or my brothers to say, please, can you go to the library? Are you passing by the library? Can you exchange these books and get new books? And just reading pace setters. And then, so then I moved on, went to high school. And also I have to say, the reason why the only African books I have recollection of being young and reading were those, because at the point in our school, because it was such, Zimbabwe was colonized, and so there was a colonial education system. And so it was more you learn English and math, and that was it. But even when you were doing English, it wasn't any African Zimbabwean author books that you were given. It's only when you went to a high school, and then you would actually get introduced to someone like Shima Shinojiga, and you're reading Harvest of Thorns and Nervous Conditions. Those books are then introduced to you in high school, and they got introduced to me in high school. So fast forward, then I grow up, and then life happens, and then I started indulging, but I forgot about my love for African literature and African authors, and how they would make me take the journey through this African lives of these different people in these stories, and how I got to know different African places, countries, languages. I forgot about that, because then as I grew up, I had a choice of buying books, but most of the books I was buying were books that were either recommended to me by the bookish people around me, or books that I would find on Oprah's Book Club, on Essence Recommended List, on New York Times bestsellers, because those are the three places that are usually my go-to, New York Times List and Oprah's Book Club and Essence Magazine's recommended book list for each month. And so I would read those books, and I was buying all these books. Yes, I bought the Chimamanda Adichie's. Yes, I have Homegoing, but it's more because it's been raved about, or I've seen it. Maybe a booktuber has spoken about it, but I would never make a conscious effort to say, I'm going out and I'm looking for any African books that came out in 2016 or that are coming in 2017. It wasn't that effort. It was more, if it is hyped and if it's brought to my attention, then yes, I'll read it. Otherwise, no. So having this podcast for me is my call to action. It's my call to action to go out and read these books and come out and review them with you, share them with anyone who's listening. And let's have this community of, you know, supporting our African writers, African authors, and community, Black writers, you know, they don't necessarily have to be African. They could be African American, Black British, Jamaican, but just supporting Black writers in essence, and also making sure in our community we're reading more. You know, people should have this love of books. People have access to the internet, but only think it's there to be on Facebook or to be on Snapchat or to Instagram. But more to that, they know there's a plethora of things available to you on the internet that you could be reading. And now we can easily get books on our phones. You know, we have our iPads, we have all gadgets. And so that's why essentially this journey of this young 3-year-old who was taught how to read by her mother, 4-year-old, you know, not true, making himself seem like some genius kid. No, I was 4 years old. Like the 4-year-old who started reading from that young age, 11-year-old who discovered this a whole world of pacesetters and was reading them and indulging and loving them because they're great young adult fiction. And so now I'm trying to build up a collection. And so I'll start reviewing them. And then young adults everywhere can also be introduced to this world of pacesetters and different African authors. So I hope you stay with me on this journey. And yeah, so this podcast will definitely be unedited because it's a quick Sunday off the cuff chat with you that I thought about, and I was like, oh yeah, I need to post something. And so post it also as my call to action as we wrap up 2016 and go into 2017, that I do better, that I read so many more books in 2017. So the next podcast will be the books I read in 2016 and my thoughts in them and recommendations. So thank you so much for listening. This is Rini. So please make sure to follow Nomwe Podcast on iTunes, NOMWE on iTunes, and also follow us on Blog Talk Radio, which is blogtalkradio.com/Nomwe. And you can also catch up with me on Twitter, where I am @Shaud_TheMag. That's CHAUD_TheMag. And yeah, let's catch up, let's chat books, let's do everything else. Thank you so much.